Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Last night, Donald Trump read from the teleprompter for more than 90 minutes, delivering his State of the Union address, the first of his administration. Tonight, we present some of the responses to his speech. Brooklyn Councilmember Jamani Williams sent out his response. He writes, "Last night, Donald Trump laid bare his view of America, and while the performance may have fed his need for sycophantic applause and punditry plaudits, it reveals a deeply disturbing, utterly myopic, and ignorantly clouded view of America, what issues we face as a nation, and the role that the president and Republicans play in those issues. The bar for Trump has been set so astonishingly low that this faux character was nearly able for 90 minutes to hide the man that he truly is and the reality we've seen for the last year. This man is the last person who should be discussing unity of any kind." Former Maryland Congressmember Donna Edwards delivered the Working Families Party response to Trump's State of the Union. She says Americans are bigger than the hate that has taken residence in the White House.
"My fellow Americans, 1 year into Donald Trump's presidency, we've seen our government run by and for billionaires and promoting racist policies targeting people of color. From the Department of Education to the Environmental Protection Agency, Trump has handed over the levers of government to his billionaire friends and anti-government allies. The president who stood before the American people tonight is upending the rule of law. He's destroying institutions and engaging in an unprecedented purge of the Department of Justice as Special Counsel Mueller closes in on him. All the while, congressional Republicans remain silent. From talk of building walls to travel bans to devastating cuts to education and tax breaks for the richest among us, undermining votes and voting rights and the rule of law, and attacks on health care, Trump's policies have hit their mark. And as we heard from his speech tonight, he will continue to demonize the powerless while enriching the most powerful. But there's been one saving grace, and it's a big one, because all across this nation, in communities and neighborhoods just like mine in Prince George's County, Maryland, the spirit of grassroots resistance and civic renewal burns bright."
Senator Bernie Sanders, in his response to the State of the Union, notes glaring omissions regarding some of the most important issues facing the U.S. and the world in Trump's speech.
"Now, I don't understand how a president of the United States can give a State of the Union speech and not mention climate change. No, Mr. Trump, climate change is not a hoax. It is a reality which is causing devastating harm all over our country and all over the world. And you are dead wrong when you appoint administrators at the EPA and other agencies who are trying to decimate environmental protection rules and slow down the transition to sustainable energy. How can a president of the United States in the year 2018 not discuss the disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision which allows billionaires like the Koch brothers to undermine American democracy by spending hundreds of millions of dollars to elect candidates who will represent the rich and the powerful? How can he not talk about Republican governors' efforts all across this country to undermine American democracy, suppress the vote, and make it harder for poor people or people of color to vote? How can he not talk about the fact that in a highly competitive global economy, hundreds of thousands of bright young people are unable to afford to go to college, while millions of others have come out of school deeply in debt and struggle with that debt every month of their lives? How can a president of the United States not talk about the inadequate funding and staffing at the Social Security Administration, which has resulted in thousands of people with disabilities dying because they did not get their claims processed in time? How can he not talk about the retirement crisis facing the working people of this country and the fact that over half of older workers have no retirement savings? We need to strengthen pensions in this country, not take them away from millions of workers. How can a president not talk about the reality that Russia, through cyber warfare, interfered in our election in 2016, is interfering in democratic elections all over the world, and according to his own CIA director, will likely interfere in the 2018 midterm elections that we will be holding? How do you not talk about that unless perhaps you have a very special relationship with Mr. Putin? Now let me say a few words about what Trump did talk about. Trump talked about DACA and immigration, but what he did not tell the American people is that he precipitated this crisis in September by repealing President Obama's executive order protecting the Dreamers. We need to seriously address the issue of immigration, but that does not mean dividing families and reducing legal immigration by 25 to 50%. It surely does not mean forcing the taxpayers of our country to spend $25 billion on a wall that candidate Trump promised us that Mexico would pay for. And it definitely doesn't mean a racist immigration policy that excludes people of color from around the world. To my mind, this issue of protecting the Dreamers is one of the great moral issues facing our country. It would be unspeakable and a moral stain on our nation if we turned our backs on these 800,000 young people who were born and raised in this country and who know no other home but the United States of America. And that's not just Bernie Sanders talking. Poll after poll after poll shows that over 80% of the American people believe that we should protect the legal status of these young people and provide them with a path toward citizenship. We need to pass the bipartisan DREAM Act, and we need to pass it now. President Trump tonight also talked about the need to rebuild our country's infrastructure, and he's right on that. But the proposal that he is bringing forth is dead wrong. Instead of spending $1.5 trillion over 10 years rebuilding our crumbling roads and bridges, what Trump wants to do is to encourage states to sell their infrastructure to Wall Street, to wealthy campaign contributors, and even to foreign governments. And how would Wall Street and these large corporations recoup their investments? They would make their money back by imposing massive new tolls and fees paid by American commuters and by homeowners. The reality is that Trump's plan to privatize our nation's infrastructure is an old idea that has never worked and never will work. Tonight, Donald Trump correctly talked about the need to address the opioid crisis. Well, I say to Donald Trump, you don't help people suffering from opioid addiction by cutting Medicaid by $1 trillion. If you are serious about dealing with this crisis, we need to expand Medicaid, not cut it. My fellow Americans, the simple truth is that according to virtually every poll, Donald Trump is the least popular president after 1 year in office of any president in modern American history. And the reason for that is pretty clear. The American people do not want a president who is compulsively dishonest, who is a bully, who actively represents the interests of the billionaire class, who is anti-science, and who is trying to divide us up based on the color of our skin, our nation of origin, our religion, our gender, or our sexual orientation. That is not what the American people want.
Sanders says that's the bad news, but the good news is that more and more people are coming forth with a very different vision of our country and our future. Today, Democratic congressional representatives responded to Trump's State of the Union address. Nancy Pelosi from California, House Democratic leader, says Trump's speech was transformative. She says while expectations for greatness and vision with Trump are not high, he stooped to a new low in terms of how he dealt with issues. Pelosi.
For example, the immigration issue and what it has meant to our country and how he characterized it. The opioid epidemic, which is in every district in the country, a challenge, and many families, a tragedy. And the president treated it in such a disdainful way. Actually, it is one of the items on the agenda that we're fighting for, increased funding for opioids, in the discussion that we're having on the caps, on the parity issue, on the budget. Last night, the president delivered a speech of unwarranted self-congratulatory comments, beautiful to acknowledge the courage, the sacrifice of the people in the audience, as if he had something to do with the successes that they had achieved. Of course, we all salute them. It's an interesting story. More importantly, it's about the fabric of America that his speech was not about. Again, devoid of vision. So sad. The president presents himself with this GOP tax scam as something to help the middle class. He kind of presented that. Well, at the same time, his tax scam calls for 86 million middle-class families to pay more as he pads the pockets of the top 1%. The president presents himself as generous toward dreamers, but he's holding them hostage to the most extreme anti-immigrant agenda in generations. We heard more insulting words of ignorance and prejudice toward patriotic immigrant families last night. I just remind you, and I've said this to his people, this is a first in a long time. President Reagan was great on immigration. He did more than Congress did after Congress passed a bill. President George Herbert Walker Bush was great on immigration. The two of them protected a higher percentage of people than Barack Obama, President Obama did with his executive orders. With their executive orders, they protected a higher percentage. President Clinton, of course, President Obama, President George W. Bush, one of the best presidents in advocating for immigrants and what immigration means to America, could not convince his own party. And now a president in complete departure of Republican presidents in modern times, Republican and Democrat, but you would expect the Democrats, Republican presidents in the lead, taking us down a road, just red meat for his base. The president presents himself as a man of big ideas, and then he presents a lame, puny infrastructure proposal, completely underestimating or ignoring the infrastructure challenges our country faces. Democrats believe that the American people deserve better than what the president talked about last night. They deserve a better deal, better jobs, better pay, a better future. And that's what we will be working on. I found it liberating. It freed me of my personal thoughts about the president and said, this is so much bigger than that. None of us can afford the luxury of minor disagreements. This is very major. With that, I yield to our distinguished whip, Mr. Hoyer.
Thank you very much, Madam Leader. President Trump tried to put a fresh coat of paint on a failing presidency. It didn't work. Americans see through the rhetoric and understand the reality. The president has made our country less safe, less strong, and less proud over the past year. Not less proud of our country and its basic principles, but less proud of our failure to give to the rest of the world the leadership that they need and crave. He also made false claims. He took credit for others' successes. He took credit for job creation under President Obama, when in fact 2017 was the lowest job growth in 6 years. He made claims about his tax bill, that have been debunked. Instead, he's given tax cuts to the wealthy, the upper 1%, and he claimed is restoring our standing in the world. I can't understand where he's getting his facts from or his information from, but he must be reading fake news, because all over the world we are seeing a reduction in the confidence of the leadership of the United States. The president's speech was a disappointment and a missed opportunity.
House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer. Today he said there's a 90% chance that Democrats will retake the lower chamber in the November midterm elections. According to Axios, there are 48 vacated seats, and the Democrats would need 24 to take back the House. And you're listening to listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI in New York. Representative Joe Kennedy III presented the Democratic response after Donald Trump's State of the Union address. He was in Fall River, Massachusetts, an American city, he says, which was built by immigrants. Joe Kennedy.
Like many American hometowns, Fall River has faced its share of storms. But the people here are tough. They fight for each other. They pull for their city. It is a fitting place to gather as our nation reflects on the state of our union. This is a difficult task. Many have spent the last year anxious, angry, afraid. We all feel the fractured fault lines across our country. We hear the voices of Americans who are forgotten and feel forsaken. We see an economy that makes stocks soar, investor portfolios bulge, and corporate profits climb, but fails to give workers their fair share of the reward. A government that struggles to keep itself open. Russia, knee-deep in our democracy. An all-out war on environmental protection. A Justice Department rolling back civil rights by the day. Hatred and supremacy proudly marching in our streets. Bullets tearing through our classrooms, concerts, and congregations. Targeting our safest, sacred places. And this nagging, sinking feeling, no matter your political beliefs, that this is not right. This is not who we are. Folks, it would be easy to dismiss this past year as chaos, partisanship, as politics. But it's far, far bigger than that. This administration isn't just targeting the laws that protect us. They're targeting the very idea that we are all worthy of protection. For them, dignity isn't something you're born with, but something you measure by your net worth, your celebrity, your headlines, your crowd size, not to mention the gender of your spouse, the country of your birth, the color of your skin, the God of your prayers. Their record is a rebuke to our highest American ideal, the belief that we are all worthy, that we are all equal, that we all count in the eyes of our law and our leaders, our God, and our government. That is the American promise. Today, ladies and gentlemen, today, that promise is being broken. by an administration that callously appraises our worthiness and decides who makes the cut and who can be bargained away. They're turning American life into a zero-sum game where for one to win, another must lose, where we can guarantee America's safety if we slash our safety net, where we can extend health care in Mississippi if we gut it in Massachusetts. We can cut taxes for corporations today if we raise them on families tomorrow, where we can take care of sick kids if we sacrifice dreamers. We are bombarded with one false choice after another: coal miners or single moms, rural communities or inner cities, the coast or the heartland. As if the mechanic in Pittsburgh, a teacher in Tulsa, and a daycare worker in Birmingham are bitter rivals, rather than mutual casualties of a system forcefully rigged towards those at the top. As if the parent who lies awake, terrified that their transgender son or daughter will be beaten and bullied at school, is any more or less legitimate than a parent whose heart is shattered by a daughter in the grips of an opioid addiction. So here is the answer that Democrats offer tonight. We choose both. We fight for both, because the greatest, strongest, richest nation in the world should not have to leave anyone behind. We choose a better deal for all who call our country home. We choose a living wage and the paid leave and affordable child care your family needs to survive. We choose pensions that are solvent, trade pacts that are fair, roads and bridges that won't rust away, a good education that you can afford. We choose a healthcare system that offers you mercy, whether you suffer from cancer or depression or addiction. We choose an economy strong enough to boast record stock prices and brave enough to admit that top CEOs making 300 times their average worker is not right. We choose Fall River. We choose the thousands of American communities whose roads aren't paved with power or privilege, but with an honest effort, with good faith, and the resolve to build something better for your kids. That is our story. It began the day our founding fathers and mothers set sail for a new world, fleeing oppression and intolerance. It continued with every word of our independence, the audacity to declare that all men are created equal, an imperfect promise for a nation struggling to become a more perfect union. It grew with every suffragette step, every freedom rider's voice, and with every weary soul we welcomed to our shores. And to all the dreamers out there watching tonight, let me be absolutely clear. Ustedes son parte de nuestra historia. Vamos a luchar. Vamos a luchar por ustedes. Y no nos vamos a alejar. You are part of our story. We will fight for you, and we will not walk away. America, we carry that story on our shoulders. You swarmed Washington last year to ensure that no parent has to worry if they can afford to save their child's life. You proudly marched together last weekend, thousands deep, on the streets of Las Vegas and Philadelphia and Nashville. You sat high atop your mom's shoulders and held a sign that read, "Build a wall, and my generation will tear it down." You bravely say, "Me too." You steadfastly say, "Black lives matter." You wade through floodwaters, battle hurricanes, brave wildfires and mudslides to save a stranger. You battle your own quiet battles every single day. You drag your weary bodies to that extra shift so that your families won't feel the sting of scarcity. You leave loved ones at home to defend our country overseas, or patrol our neighborhoods at night. You serve. You rescue. You help. You heal. That, more than any law or leader, debate or disagreement, that is what drives us towards progress. Bullies may land a punch. They may leave a mark. But they have never, not once, in the history of our United States, managed to match the strength and spirit of a people united in defense of their future. Politicians can be cheered for the promises they make. Our country will be judged by the promises we keep. That is the measure of our character. That is who we are. Out of many, one. Ladies and gentlemen, have faith. Have faith. The state of our union is hopeful, resilient, and enduring. God bless you. God bless your families. And may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
You've been listening to responses to Donald Trump's State of the Union address, which he delivered on January 30th, 2018. You just heard Massachusetts Representative Joe Kennedy. You also heard from former Maryland Congress member Donna Edwards for the Working Families Party, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and Democratic Whip Steny Hoyer. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.